discipline is something that people are looking for, order, meaning, truth. I think these are all like countercultural. You know, it's, we have a relativistic, self-centered, you know, do the easy thing kind of culture. And yet,
when you try that out, it doesn't make you feel good in the long run.
No.
And I think people, you know, young men, young women, doesn't matter when you try out that, instant gratification lifestyle, you burn out and you crash at a certain point. And, we're looking for something that's rock solid and is going to challenge us to delay gratification for, as a sacrifice for a better future for not only us, but also our family, our community.
Searching for a homeschooling program to build strong, faithful Catholic students? Mother of Divine Grace School has served families worldwide for 30 years, guiding them in implementing a truly Catholic classical education right at home. Founded by author and homeschooling mother Laura Berquist, Mother of Divine Grace School is fully accredited and provides homeschooling consulting services that support parents as the primary educators. To learn more about enrolling, call 805-646-5818 or click the link above or below in the description.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds, seeking the moral high ground for 20 years. Pro-life, pro-family, and Catholic values have guided us to the top.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on our Reason for Hope. I just found out the other day from one of our producers that, you know, more than half the people that watch this show, this podcast, do not subscribe to us. This is insane. I mean, what are you waiting for? Hit the subscribe button now. All right, back to the show.
Welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. I'm Jack. I'm here with our director of theology, Dr. David Hyduk. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Good to see you, Jack.
You as well, as always. And in this episode, we're going to address a very hopeful topic in our society, a sudden rise in conversions to Catholicism. So more and more people, especially young men, are walking away from the noise and confusion of modern life in search of something deeper. They're finding it in the Catholic Church, attracted by its beauty, transcendence, traditional values, and its unshakable commitment to truth and order. So in a world where woke ideology often distorts reality and undermines the sacred, the Catholic Church is becoming a refuge, as it always has been, right, Dave? A countercultural force that's speaking to the human heart in ways modern systems simply cannot. So today we're going to talk about some possible explanations as to why this increase in conversions is happening. So why are so many people, especially young men, hungry for authentic leadership, finding in Catholicism not just a set of beliefs, but a way of life rooted in meaning, sacrifice, and beauty? So let's get into it. So Dave, first of all, let's talk about this increase that I was mentioning. Nationwide numbers aren't available yet, but certain dioceses are reporting increases of 30, 40, 50%, and even more than 70%, which is crazy. So the Diocese of Fort Worth, Texas jumps out. The number of converts there rose from 896 at Easter 2023 to 1,544 at Easter 2024, an increase of 72%. This is great news, right?
Well, yeah, it is great news, and it's hopeful news, but I think we have to contextualize the news a little bit because we don't want to overstate the situation on the ground. So we can get into why it's hopeful and why this is seeming to be what's trending, but But we have to remember that still a third of U.S. adults are unaffiliated. So that means they're the nones, N-O-N-E-S. They don't have any particular religion. They don't identify with any denomination. So that's really not a great number, right? And then 4%, it seems, of U.S. adults don't even believe in God, while another 5% say they don't know that God exists. And actually, those numbers might be quite low because some studies, in particular, one Gallup poll indicated that there could be as many as 17% of the population that don't believe in God, but that somehow there's still a stigma attached to atheism in the culture so that they don't answer the question really honestly. So that is not great news. In a recent study, only 19% of Americans self-identify as Catholic, down from 24% in 07. So that's a 20% decrease. And very recently, there was a Pew survey done that indicated that for every 100 people that join the Catholic Church, 840 leave. So yeah, we're getting some converts, which is great, but the disparity there is pretty extreme and way more extreme than any other Christian denomination or religion just generally. So keep that in mind. If you're at your local church and you went to the Easter Vigil and you had somebody come into the church and you're getting all excited, remember, there are 8 people that just left the back door, you know, with that one person who came in. That's not incredibly exciting. So, you know, I think of all the former Catholics, even, where do they go? 56% become nuns. They become not religiously habited nuns, religiously unaffiliated nuns, N-O-N-E-S's. And another 32% become Protestant. So there's still that movement from Catholicism to Protestantism, particularly to evangelical churches and Pentecostalism. And yet most who leave just don't practice anything. So we still see those kinds of numbers. So that being said, seeing the increase is a really intriguing thing. And it's not something that I think we expected to see.
We
didn't expect to see the jump. So seeing the jump is really hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting into why the jump, I think, is also telling, because it says something about not only the desires of the human heart of particularly young people, younger people, but something that the church has to offer those desires.
Mm.
So,
well, maybe let's just hop into that. Right before we do, this just came to mind. Why do you think Catholics, forget about why they would be leaving and becoming atheists or agnostics, that I can kind of understand that. That was me at one point. Why are they leaving for Protestant churches, do you think?
Yeah, that's a really...
Maybe they like rock and roll?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Ambient guitars?
Yeah, like, that's kind of a funny question. I think that first and foremost, it would be because they are looking for community. And I think that evangelical churches, they do community really well, right? The Pentecostal churches do community really well. I also think there's a hunger for a religious experience, and they don't find, perhaps in some Catholic churches, passionate and really solid teaching or preaching that moves their heart.
Sure.
And or an experience of worship that tends to draw them into that encounter with Christ.
Yeah.
So you could say that that might be some of the typical reasons why.
I think that's a solid answer. Yeah. And that want for an experience, especially. I mean, and which stems from perhaps that lack of formation, especially surrounding what the Mass is. Right. You know, like Fulton Sheen famously said, if you're not getting anything out of Mass, you're not bringing anything to it. So anyway, I think that's a very, very nice answer. But let's get into, if we're good on that, sure. Let's maybe get into the reasons why young people in particular are seem to be converting by their own free will to Catholicism.
Okay. So some of the studies on this are pretty interesting. According to a recent Pew study, 40% of those who converted to Catholicism did so because they came to believe and were attracted to the teachings of the church, while a solid 50% did so because either their spouse or their significant other was Catholic. I was actually surprised by that second thing because I thought that was kind of out now. It used to be very much the case that somebody would become Catholic because they were getting married in the church. And so they were marrying a Catholic. The Catholic needed to get married in the church. They went along for the ride. And as somebody who has done marriage preparation for a lot of years, I saw that very, very frequently.
Sure.
So, yeah. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. People will say, oh, well, it's not really coming from them. They're doing it for this other reason. But I don't think it's a bad reason to want unity with your spouse in terms of belief, in terms of values, especially when you're thinking into the future and saying, we have children we're going to be raising. I think what I expected to see happening now versus that was that people are just, they are what they are, or they aren't what they aren't, and they're not raising their kids anything, and they're encouraging their own children to just kind of investigate and decide for themselves what they want to be. That is becoming more and more trendy, and I think it's a terrible idea, you know. Like, but that being said, I would have expected to see that, and not the fact that people are converting because of a spouse. But so I actually saw that as really positive that people are converting still because of their spouse, because they want that sense of family unity, because they want to have a commonality of belief.
Yeah.
Or values, or even vision for their family and their future. But that's like an interesting sort of thing. Of those who like come in because of what they experience about the church, the beliefs of the church, they're attracted to the teachings of the church. It seems that they're really looking for traditional values. They're looking for an experience of transcendence, and of beauty, of authentic beauty. I think that those trend with regards to the new converts. And so that's really intriguing to me. They obviously find something in Catholicism and in Catholic worship and ritual that speaks to those things, to the transcendence, to the beauty, to the traditional values. They see something in Catholic teaching that almost seems like it provides a counterbalance to the relativism that they experience in the world, or the lack of commitment to truth, or even acknowledging that there is such a thing as truth that they'll find in the public square. They see something very solid in what the Catholic Church is putting forth that's almost unmovable. And in an unstable time when people are not finding a place to land or to stand on their two feet without, you know, having shaking sands, so to speak, shifting sands. I think that like, that's attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's built on a rock.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. What other traditional Catholic values? So you mentioned transcendence, beauty. What are the, would you consider those values?
I do.
So what other values within traditional Catholicism do you specifically think might be especially attractive to the younger generation? Because we're especially focused on the younger generation, especially young men who seem to be converting, right?
Right. So why don't we talk about like generally, and then we can talk about men. Sound good?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think that the experience of transcendence we discussed, connected to that is this desire for reverence. This experience of reverence. I think reverence with regards to God, but also reverence with regards to the human person, the other, right? So there's a desire for some kind of experience that lifts them up out of themselves and helps them to see that there's something bigger beyond, there's a meaning that exists, that and there's a sense of one's own littleness in the presence of that mystery, of that other, of God. So I think that that's a big one. And this trends, by the way, with how a lot of these converts are popping up in more traditional environments. So you'll see that among the new converts, that there's much more of a sense of, you know, traditional worship, traditional prayer forms, more traditional looking churches, you know, like all these kinds of things that are also part of this move. It's not just a move to Catholicism, it's a move to tradition on some level. And why? Because tradition is stable, you know, like that there's that being rooted, that rootedness.
In thousands of years.
Right. Even the very word that tradition comes from is like that which is handed down. It's almost like the culture today is like, throw away anything that you've been given. Don't listen to the older generations. They were all wrong. Don't listen to, you know, like what you learned in school. You know, just come up with your own thing. An interesting aside.
Maybe don't listen to what you learned in school,
depending on the school or the teacher.
right.
So, but this is an interesting thing because one of the things that you see, you have seen, is this desire for tradition, but on my terms. So, you know, you'll have two people who are Christian or who are Jewish or whatever religious tradition, and yet they want something of that in their marriage, let's say. But instead of adopting the traditional marriage rite, or instead of trying to adopt this particular thing that was done in all like Jewish marriages, for example, they decide they're going to change it to kind of suit what they think. There's like this sense of like, I can have control over something that's been around for 3,000 plus years as part of like this marriage rite. I somehow have the right to make that what I want it to be,
yeah,
to reflect what I feel or think.
Uh-huh.
That is not tradition. that's you. You know, like,
sure,
it's kind of like connected to the, I always think about St. Augustine, who said that if you pick and choose from among what the church teaches and what Christ taught, then it's not Jesus you worship, it's yourself you worship, because you've set yourself up as the one who picks and chooses. So it's kind of that cafeteria Catholicism is really about self-worship, right? Like, and there is a sense of tradition that can be maybe that way too. So
yeah.
That's not the tradition that these converts are looking for. They're not looking for a tradition that they can just adapt to, you know, and tweak the way they want it to be. They're looking to accept something that's been passed on. In other words, they want to enter into the flow of the river,
yeah,
as opposed to manipulating where the river flows.
Something that's been formed and tested over centuries and millennia,
right,
that is strong and provides meaning.
And to kind of back this up, this is interesting. Recent data shows that personal preferences, that's reverence, solemnity, the music, account for 58% of the total group that would go to like a Latin mass, for example, where peer influences, that is friends go, a spouse goes, account for about 18%. Well, that's still like them choosing to go based on what somebody else is doing, right? So that's 76% of those attending a Latin mass are doing it, that's between 18 and 39 years old, are doing it for personal reasons, like the internal reasons. They're not doing it because they were raised in a traditional Latin mass. They're doing it because either a friend goes and they were curious, you know, they met somebody who has a significant other who goes, or really 56% just because they themselves were attracted to the reverence and the solemnity. So what does that say? I mean, that says a lot, I think, that
yeah,
there's a real yearning for that.
Yeah,
And stepping into that place, which is the way that it's been for, you know, millennia. So So I don't know, does that answer the question a little bit? There's maybe some other values too. I think that, you know, discipline is something that people are looking for, order, meaning, truth. I think these are all like countercultural. You know, it's, we have a relativistic, self-centered, you know, do the easy thing kind of culture. And yet,
when you try that out, it doesn't make you feel good in the long run.
No.
Yeah. And I think people, you know, young men, young women, doesn't matter when you try out that, instant gratification lifestyle, you burn out and you crash at a certain point. And, we're looking for something that's rock solid and is going to challenge us to delay gratification for, as a sacrifice for a better future for not only us, but also our family, our community.
Mother of Divine Grace School has served homeschooling families worldwide for 30 years. Founded by author and homeschooling mother, Laura Berquist, Mother of Divine Grace School is fully accredited and passionate about supporting parents as the primary educators. Laura states, "We exist to help Catholic families raise their children in a living Catholic culture in their homes, mentoring them and using the MODG, Catholic Classical Curriculum, to lead their children to good judgment concerning the good, true, and beautiful. With effective school-wide learning goals, students are formed to be active learners, effective communicators, independent thinkers, and multifaceted individuals. Graduates have been accepted into 18 of the top 25 schools in the nation and pursue degrees across a wide variety of fields. To learn more about enrolling, you can visit their virtual open house, call 805-646-5818, or click the link above or below in the description.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed with contrarian thinking. Their independent research and analysis provide a deep understanding of our investments with the intent to avoid or minimize unpleasant surprises. This helps to ensure that their funds' investments match your moral beliefs. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions solely based on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274. Or visit the link above or below in the description. Hello, and thanks for being with us here on A Reason for Hope podcast. Been very grateful of the many years that we've been doing this for you. This is our sixth season with hundreds of podcasts already released. Although they're free to watch and listen to, they're not free to produce. So I'm asking that you discern to contributing and donate to A Reason for Hope podcast. We're a nonprofit organization. Every dollar, every penny is tax deductible. All you have to do is go to our website and click donation and navigate the podcast. All the funds that you donate will go to the production of this podcast. Thanks again, and may God bless you.
Now listen, original sin, and particularly I think this is true of men. This is just my experience as a man. And like I teach in an all boys school.
Yeah.
I've got six of my own sons. You know, like yeah. I think that men will be lazy if you let them.
Sure, sure.
You know, I think there's like a real, like the magnetic pull because of concupiscence is towards laziness. So from that point of view, that's concupiscent desire though. That's not satisfying. So our tendency is to do that. We will do that as a default if we're allowed to do that, you know, but that's not really what our hearts yearn to do. Our hearts yearn to be the knight that conquers the bad guy.
Yeah, providers, protectors.
We want to go out and do hard work and see, like, and produce.
Right, right.
And
right.
create and, like you're saying, to lead. Protect, to lead. That's what a man really wants and really satisfies his heart.
And when you have a culture that is counter to that and says, you know, in a feministic way, you know, pushing your toxic masculinity on me. Even, let's say it's not toxic, right? These traditional values that we're listing are certainly not toxic,
but
they're considered toxic by the woke culture. It's like, you know, don't be a man, don't be masculine. It's like, well, then I'm gonna like sit home and play video games.
Men don't have a sense of their own purpose anymore. It used to be, I was gonna provide. Now it doesn't have to be that. It was going to be...
Because that would be toxic.
I have to go out and protect, but now, you know, women should be able to do that. You know, like it was that, like, I could, lay down my raincoat over the puddle or open up a door, and now it's like, I don't need a man. You know, like, so there's...
Because that might offend,
Right. So it's like, there's all these things that, like, men wind up being completely disoriented. Well, what am I supposed to be?
Yeah.
You know, like, and then they're told... that they have to do, and again, without getting too much into what could be considered cultural roles for men, they're being told to do things that typically have been considered women jobs. And if they're not just as willing to do them, or somehow they're not as inclined to do them as a woman, then somehow they're also toxically masculine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
catch 22.
It's a catch 22. So, like, hey, I think it's great if there are things that a man does for sacrificing for his bride, but there's, like, to say that they're not things that a woman would more typically or traditionally do because she's a woman and inclined and gifted that way, and there aren't things that men would more typically do because they're a man and inclined and gifted that way, that's just sheer foolishness. That's like denying human nature. And they're making that all about social construction, which is just, you know, preposterous.
It's very damaging.
Yeah. It is damaging. So what's going on with regards to men becoming more religious? They're tired of being told their masculinity is a problem. And so, and that any traditional kind of expressions of masculinity are automatically de facto toxic. You know, and so it's interesting to see. More traditional expressions of Catholicism and faith demand more. You have to dress up. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, yeah. I'm in this beautiful place, you know, in this beautiful church with this solemn liturgy. I ain't wearing sweats to church, right? And I'm going to feel like I need to now carry myself in a more dignified way, in a more formal way. I'm going to fast. People are fasting. You know, I'm going to do prayers that are not only more traditional, but more demanding. I'm going to get out and do service and roll up my sleeves and do difficult things. This all comes along with the conversion to these more traditional values is a rediscovery of masculinity that I think is men have been yearning for.
Yeah. Because when you do the harder thing, when you take up your cross and follow the Lord as best as you can with the help of his grace, there's a feeling of accomplishment in that, a feeling there's implicit meaning in that that is not found in the world or instant gratification of concupiscent desires.
And I think that typically you're going to see, and without like painting with a broad brush, because obviously it's going to depend on the local parish and the priests there and everything else, but even our worship has become a little bit more emotive. It's less intellectual. It's more ad lib and go with the flow. It's informal. It's a lot of that. None of that is speaking to men. You know, they want something that's more intellectual. And in fact, it's interesting. One of the things that seems to have contributed, and, you know, hopefully we've done a little bit of that here, is people out there putting real solid Catholic intellectual content online has been an influence on people choosing Catholicism, because they're turning to Catholicism and saying, hey, these are really solid answers to some really, really difficult questions. And there's a rich intellectual tradition. And these guys are not intellectual slouches. This isn't just like an emotive, you know, easy answer to help me go to bed at night kind of thing. This is like a real solid thing. And so when you have homilies that are more, you know, substantive, when you have a ritual that is more ordered and not sort of go with the flow and more formal, that really speaks to something that especially men, human beings, I think generally, but especially men, I think tend to yearn for.
Okay, yeah, because the man yearns to bring order out of chaos in every aspect of their life. So,
yeah, I think that that's true.
Yeah. Dave, you had mentioned that one of the reasons Catholics are leaving Catholicism and moving to a Protestant church or denomination is perhaps the draw to a community life that's deeper. Do you think that the draw to traditional Catholic communities has something to do with the community life within those communities?
Yeah, I do. In fact, it's interesting. I had also mentioned in my answer to that question about why Catholics leave that their draw to the Protestant or evangelical expressions of Christianity is because of community and religious experience, right? An encounter. We already kind of talked about how a lot of these traditional communities, there's an experience of transcendence and reverence and certainly a sense of encounter with the living God.
There's definitely an experience.
You know, right? So that part is being fed by a more traditional expression. But then what you're finding is in these communities that are more traditional, there are more young people and they're starting their young families. There's a lot of community that is experienced in those groups.
I can
attest
to that.
Yeah. And so, and what winds up happening is you feel like you have a support, you have people who are looking at the world similarly, you have in a world that doesn't seem to be friendly to traditional values or expressions of faith, you have other like-minded people who are trying to live similarly, and you can find good friendships there. And friends for your kids, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think that that winds up being a real draw. This actually starts a little bit in college campuses because you'll have, for example, I know you're familiar with the Dominicans have these Thomistic institutes that pop up like on different college campuses where some professor or a Dominican friar will come and give a talk on a particular topic dealing with St. Thomas Aquinas or and then there's a conversation afterward, and there are these vibrant communities of young adults that are like these intellectual communities that are building around like these kinds of experiences. You also have very vibrant Catholic campus ministries at, like here in New Jersey at Rutgers as a very vibrant Catholic campus ministry and a whole community of graduates that have now continued to live in a community sort of way as a the actual covenant community called Petros. Interesting about this whole tending towards more traditional or conservative expressions, you know, we often hear about like a vocation crisis, that there's a lack of priests. You've got churches that are closing. You've got schools that are closing. And we see this all over the place. But, you know, that's very specific where that's happening. So we like to think there's this overarching vocation crisis, but for example, the Fraternity of St. Peter, this traditional Latin Mass group.
FSSP.
Yeah, the FSSP, which, you know, again, John Paul II started them. So they're like in union with Rome.
Of course.
Their whole focus is celebrating the traditional Mass, the traditional sacraments, and teaching a more traditional spirituality.
It's their charism.
That's their charism.
It's the TLM.
Yes. So one of the things about this priestly fraternity, it's not hurting for vocations.
Yeah.
It's crazy the number of vocations they have.
There's gone.
But this isn't just like TLM oriented places. Like you look at the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, you know, they're very, very reverent and solemn combined with a little bit more of a charismatic vibe. But their life is a tough life. You know, it's an ascetical life. It's a life of penance. And doctrinally, they're teaching solid doctrine. So do you see the Friars of the Renewal hurting for like getting new friars? No, they're getting young men to join the friars all the time. This is similar with the Dominicans of the Eastern Province. They're not hurting for vocations. Why? Similar idea. A very reverent liturgy, a very, you know, focused, traditionally minded prayer life, and a more solemn celebration of the Mass. And it's also among religious women. So if you look at the more, you might want to say, faithfully Orthodox, meaning they want solid teaching, they want to stand for what the church teaches, combined with like a real focus on a vibrant spiritual life that's centered in devotions, as well as contemplative prayer and penitential practices. Then you've got, you know, the Sisters of Life. You've got the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia or up in Ann Arbor, Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. You have, these are just a few. I mean, we could keep going with listing them. You're not going to find a vocation crisis. They do have a vocation crisis. They can't fit the number of people that are coming to these places to join them. And then that's the other thing. Like, young people are joining these communities.
Yeah.
You know, so again, even there, it's interesting to note that there is a vocation boom.
When the community life tends towards traditional values, perhaps. Right. So it's quite the correlation. Yeah, very interesting. So let's maybe end with this question, Dave. What types of things can we do here as a ministry for other lay apostolates, or just as Catholics in general to... encourage those who might be unhappy and haven't yet found faith?
Yeah, so this is a great question. My own take on this is people want meaning in a meaningless world. Gosh, we live in a culture that you can't even define what a man or a woman is. We're having this conversation about why men are trending. By the way, a little really interesting thing about that is that for the first time in recorded history, men outnumber women in church attendance. The men are at 30%, where it's 27% of women. Men are trending politically more conservative and women going harder left wing. Very interesting. In other words, women tend to be becoming more woke, young women, and young men are becoming more conservative. Very interesting. So where is a young man who tends more conservative going to find a more conservative woman at these more traditional parishes, right? Mm-hmm. So like there's something to be said for that too, that there's just a natural sort of connection to when I'm seeking a spouse, and I'm looking for somebody to build a life with, I'm going to look for somebody who sees the world similar to me.
Yeah, is right? Attracted to the same, well, at least has assented to the same beauty, truth, discipline, et cetera.
Exactly. So I think this is very interesting. So what I think is really important is to provide solid answers to the most difficult questions that young people are facing today.
Because at the end of the day, the answers the church gives to these questions that young people especially are asking are very reasonable.
Right. But the problem is, and now I'm speaking as somebody who's like, I'm in my mid-50s. So I was born in 1970. I grew up in a church that was all over the map with regards to belief, practice, worship, etc. There were all sorts of experiments and strange things that trended. I didn't know any differently. That's just the church as I knew it when I was growing up, right? So that's interesting because really the church I grew up in moved away from an intellectual tradition and move towards more affective, more sentimentalized worship and emotive, expressions. And actually relativized spirituality, whereas Now you just follow your conscience. You don't have to obey all those rules. You just have to follow your conscience. Of course, never saying anything about whether your conscience is properly formed, you know, that you can't just dismiss the rules, you know, like, you know, and it's sort of like whatever your heart tells you is the most loving thing, that's what you should do. Well, you know, think about where that can lead you, you know, like, so, you know, like, so, you know, that was the church that I grew up in. So it's funny, there's a mass exodus from that church. And now things have turned around in the church and moved more towards the traditional, where now the tradition is being recovered or retrieved. And now you start to see it becoming attractive, right?
Yeah.
Because for the same reasons you said in the culture, that when you follow that sort of follow whatever makes you feel good, it doesn't work and leaves you dissatisfied. Well, a church that seems to indicate that, do whatever spiritual practice makes you feel good, follow whatever teachings you like makes you feel good. Well, that's not going to be satisfying either.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's the same thing.
It's the same
to
thing.
A certain degree, yeah.
So solid answers to solid questions and encouraging people to do the hard thing, not just because it's hard, but because it is the way we learn sacrificial love, self-emptying, mastery of self. In a lot of ways, the culture says, give in to your base passions and your whims, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what traditional Catholic spirituality says is, no, get control of it, direct it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Get control of it, direct it. You are the master of it, not it the master of you. And that's why, by the way, that kind of do whatever you want to do lifestyle winds up being so damaging, is because eventually you become slave to your desire.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to obey your desire. That's not freedom. When I have to obey every desire that I have,
right, right, right.
That's not freedom. So I think there's a sense among people that they want something more, that they want to be all that they can be.
Yeah.
And so I say, at the same time as providing solid teaching, give them a real lofty call.
Yeah.
Right? Shoot the, put the bar high.
Mm-hmm.
And then encourage them that by grace, sure, they might not make the bar, but that's why you go to confession. That's why you receive the Eucharist. That's why you pray. So you get grace so that you can get up and keep going ever higher, you know, ever higher. And I think that that speaks to the human spirit. And that's, I think, particularly speaks to men in a very powerful way.
Yeah. Who ultimately need to be the leaders, the providers, the protectors, the lovers.
But have been told they don't have to be any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
By the culture.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they don't have to be, don't be, because it's going to offend someone, right. Or yeah, not good, not good. So that, those are good things that we can do that you've provided there, Dave. So I think that's a good place to end. I
awesome.
Think. Yeah. So definitely a lot of hope here.
Yes.
With the conversions and the reversion to traditional values, and we'll see how it plays out in the next year, 5 years, decade. Maybe we'll be talking about this in another 6 to 12 months. See where we're at. Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Good being with you, Jack.
Yeah, you too.
In addition to producing this podcast, Array of Hope is also known for producing events such as retreats, missions, conferences, and concerts. If you'd like to learn more about what we offer, just go to our website and click on Experience. There you can see and learn all the various programs that we offer. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.